Today's program is brought to you by the Dairy Farm Families of Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Did you know that today Wisconsin produces more than 600 varieties, types, and styles of American, international style, and original cheese that win more awards than any other state or country? To learn more, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
I'm Greg Bresnitz.
And I'm Darren Bresnitz. We're the host of Snacky Tunes.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn.
If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
From Heritage Radio and Thrillist, it's Serial, a podcast about cereal. I'm Ben Robinson, editorial director of Thrillist, the website that tells you where to eat cereal, and also every other food ever in more than 30 cities across the cereal mag globe. So this week, I wanted to welcome onto Serial the probably, maybe definitely, the premier Rice Krispie Treat artist in the history of the universe, and also the world, I'd like to think, Jessica Siskin, a.k.a. Mr. Crisp.
Thank you for having me.
What's going on?
Just living my cereal life.
So, first question. I've been dying to ask you this one for a while. Are you aware that Mr. Crisp is a boy's name? And you're a girl.
I am totally aware. Thank you so much for pointing that out, along with everybody else that I've ever discussed my business with. Mr. Crisp is actually named after a fictional character that exists. I named Mr. Crisp after a character in the excellent film Sister Act 2.
Oh, Back in the Habit.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that movie has probably the best song and dance sequence of any film, you know, in our generation. Mr. Crisp is the bad guy. He's the one who's trying to get the St. Francis school shut down. And in the end, they lock him in a closet with the salami. And then they're able to...
I'm not even sure that I've seen this. I just know that it's the greatest subtitle in the history of sequels.
Back in the Habit.
Except for maybe Airplane 2, colon, the sequel.
That's good, too.
But yeah, okay. So Mr. Crisp, he's got a salami. He's in a closet. And obviously,
he's a bad
Rice Krispie Treats. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Look, for everybody listening, first of all, you should open up Mr. Crisp, spelled with a K. The K is on the crisp, not on the Mr. On Instagram is probably the best place to go, right?
Totally.
Just search Mr. Crisp Instagram, and you can see exactly what Jessica does every single moment of your life, it seems like. Even when she's sleeping, which is impressive. Most people can't do that kind of stuff. So now that everybody's looking and they see these magical, I mean, it's Rice Krispie art in many ways. It's Rice Krispie sculpture. I mean, do you consider yourself amongst the finest sculptors in the history of the world? Like where Michelangelo is, you know, my hand's kind of in the middle. And now I'm reaching up as far as I possibly can.
That's me. No, I do consider myself somewhat of a sculptor, but I don't know if I'm really an artist. I consider myself more of a renderer.
Okay.
Because I don't, you know, Michelangelo was designing things, right? He was chiseling the David out of stone. I'm merely taking things that exist and replicating them out of cereal.
Okay. That's very humble of you, especially considering the work that you do. So, yeah, my first question was apparently extremely boring and predictable.
No,
and I'm gonna have a couple
question.
More of these, but we got to do it. So, like,
it's an important question.
How'd the whole thing start?
The whole thing started.
She's so sick of answering this question.
I answer this question a lot. I was working in fashion. I worked in fashion for 7 years. I thought I would work in fashion my entire life. And I always did weird creative projects on the side. And I don't know how to cook. I still don't know how to cook. But my best friend taught me how to make Rice Krispie Treats. And it became the thing that I made.
Not cooking.
No, it is actually. It is cooking. It's not baking.
Okay.
Which is funny because sometimes I'm like, oh, I have to go cook and I feel like I'm on Breaking Bad and I'm making meth or something. But it's cooking.
You don't have enough time to do that, unfortunately.
No. I did make a meth Rice Krispie treat, though, for the finale of Breaking Bad. Blue meth. It became the thing that I made for people when they came over to my apartment or when I, you know, didn't think ahead enough to feed myself. I would make Rice Krispie treats. And I would always mold them into shapes like a heart, something super simple. One year on Valentine's Day, I made the heart and then I cut it down the middle like a broken heart. And I was going to a potluck birthday party with a friend and she suggested that we make a Rice Krispie treat surfboard. Because the birthday girl was a surfer. She was like, oh, we'll put a Barbie on top. Maybe we can make colors. And I Googled Rice Krispie Treat surfboard because it was like 2013. We Google everything.
Great year to Google Rice Krispie Treat.
Great year to Google anything. Mm-hmm. But it's crazy. I mean, I Google everything that I do now. So I Googled Rice Krispie Treat surfboard and something came up. The internet. It has so many things. Mm-hmm. And it was a recipe for a Rice Krispie Treat surfboard. And it said to include food coloring. So I did it. And the minute I added the food coloring to the mixture, I had this immediate and overwhelming impulse to make a Rice Krispie Treat cheeseburger. And I don't know where it came from.
Smart.
I've always, you know, been into cheeseburgers. They're beautiful and delicious. But this came from out of nowhere. So I went home the next night. I made my Rice Krispie Treat cheeseburger. When I finished it, I assembled all the pieces together. I screamed out loud. I was like, this is so cool. I took a picture. I posted it on Instagram. And there was, you know, from my very small following on my personal Instagram, there was a reaction.
To a Rice Krispie cheeseburger, not to you screaming violently in your apartment.
No, nobody actually checked on me.
New York City,
yeah.
As
neighbors,
always.
Doormen, thanks, mm-hmm. guys. But no, the Instagram definitely made an impact on my social media footprint. And I brought it into work the next day and everybody in my office loved it. And from there, I just kind of kept experimenting with the medium. And at first I was only making Rice Krispie treats in the shapes of other food.
Mm-hmm.
I did an ice cream cone for one friend's birthday. I did a bagel and lox, some donuts,
I've actually seen your, and if you look on the Instagram, it kind of shows your evolution throughout this. The bagel and lox that you put up a couple days ago for Passover was really wonderful, I thought. The bagel and lox that you put up earlier in the feed was,
I'm going to
be honest,
good.
It was much worse.
Yeah. No, totally. I definitely noticed that I have learned how
to very
make a Rice Krispie, you know, through practice. And sometimes mm-hmm. I look back on my old stuff and I'm proud of the techniques that I've picked up over the past year and a half.
You should be.
So I was doing them for my friends and just for birthdays and things. And I decided that, you know, I kind of started to feel bad because I would post a picture of myself or my dog and it would get like 34 likes. And then I'd post a picture of one of these Rice Krispie treats and it would get like 100. So I was like, maybe these should live somewhere else and strangers can see them.
Mm-hmm.
So I started this Instagram for Mr. Crisp and I put an email on there and I got my first order the first day I had it up. And it's been going ever since. I left my job.
It's a business. It's a legit business. How many orders do you get a week? Another boring question.
It's a good question. It really ranges depending on if there are holidays and things like that. But I usually take between 10 and 15 orders a week.
Okay.
I don't ship outside of New York, so.
Any reason?
They're hard to ship. I haven't been able to figure it out yet.
Things just kind of start to fall apart.
Yeah, I mean, I've shipped them before and they've always made it, but it's been like crazy expensive to get it out of here, and I get nervous.
I mean, you gotta give them the top quality product.
Totally.
How long does it take you to make, say, a box of Fruity Pebbles posted 1 month ago?
That
by Rice Krispies.
That one probably took between 45 minutes and an hour.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, they don't take so long.
That's
because,
really good.
I mean, you don't have that much time to mold it. It mm-hmm. hardens almost immediately. And then the rest of the time is just adding embellishments and other details.
Mm-hmm. What is the largest Rice Krispie treat art that you have ever made? Pure size.
I actually did, yesterday, I did a brand's logo over 3 18-inch boards. So it was 3 separate pieces, but that I think is the largest.
That's pretty good. I've ever done. Is that something that maybe is deep inside? You have a consuming passion to build
a giant,
larger and larger, and yeah, and like, and where does it stop? And
I actually, it's the opposite of that. I wish
you
that
you want to build a Rice Krispie treat out of one Rice Krispie,
out of one, like those grains of rice that say yeah. your name on them that uh-huh. you get on the beach in Mexico. Yeah, no, I would like to refine my detail on the smaller items.
Okay. How often do people eat these things? Do they get eaten?
Yeah, totally. I think they all get eaten. I think I have a lot of commenters on Instagram asking me who eats them. So just for all of you who are asking out there, I want to put it on record that everything gets eaten. No Rice Krispies go to waste. They're all either customer orders or if it's something that I have made because, you know, the inspiration struck me, I bring it to my friends or to school, or it gets eaten by people that I know.
Isn't that kind of like taking 3 days to make something on an Etch-a-Sketch and then giving it to your friend as a present, and then just they just shake the Etch-a-Sketch?
It is kind of sad sometimes to see them get eaten, but once it's been photographed and I could share it with my followers on Instagram, you know, if the followers are going to get to enjoy it, then people should be able to enjoy eating it.
All right, I think that's pretty reasonable. All right, look, here's a big question that it's, I mean, and we figured it out that you were going to come on this show months ago. I think even before first episode was on, and this has been, I've been paying very close attention to your work. I've been thinking about this a lot. You are essentially still at this point, and you've developed quite a bit, as we mentioned, somewhat subservient to Rice Krispies specifically.
I think that you're
firmly a Rice Krispies artist, not a cereal artist.
That is my medium.
Is that going to change? And if not, why not?
Well, there are a few reasons. Rice Krispies work really well because of their texture. They're super small, so you can get that fine detail. They are not super flavorful, so it's not overwhelming. And any other cereal I've worked with, I actually did a taste test for Thrillist mm-hmm. a few months ago with all different cereals, and many of them do not hold up to the marshmallow and butter the way that Rice Krispies do.
So they're more of Rice Krispies are, to continue our artistic metaphors, they're the canvas, and you can kind of play around with that, and especially with some of these ones with frosting on them. I imagine that, you know, the frosting on something that's frankly a little blander,
right,
like Rice Krispies, you're not worried about things interacting in a bad way, maybe?
Exactly. They're just, it's a really nice blank canvas for, you know, and I could flavor them. I do flavors.
What kind of flavors?
So I've done a bunch of flavors and nobody ever wants to order them, but I can do mint chip. I've done chocolate chip cookie flavor, cake batter. Blueberry is a really good one. Pumpkin spice.
How are you getting these flavors in
so
there?
I'm going to give away all my secrets.
Yes.
Okay. Well, the blueberry one, it's actually really good. You take Jiffy blueberry muffin mix and you should mix it in there.
That's pretty good.
It's so good. Nobody wants it, but it's great.
Wait, what do you mean nobody wants it?
Nobody ever orders flavors. I've offered really? Flavors. Yeah, so I've posted in the past, you know, Mr. Crisps are available in all of these flavors and nobody ever wants them. Peanut butter is a good one.
I mean, I feel like peanut butter Rice Krispie treats, that's an actual thing that
it is.
Like that moms have been making for decades now.
Yeah.
Actually, what do you know about the history of Rice Krispie treats? I'm pretty curious. I probably should have done this research beforehand.
I actually do know. Somebody at Kellogg's thought of the recipe.
Put it on the back of a box?
Yeah. I don't know where. I saw this very recently. Maybe it was on the box or something, but a woman who worked there had this idea to put the Rice Krispies in a mixture of marshmallow and butter, which is interesting because that's not something I necessarily would have thought of had the frame of reference.
It takes a rogue genius to create, you know, most of the great things in our world.
Totally. And she's a woman.
I feel like these things emerged like when I was a kid, and obviously I'm still 21 years old, as everybody knows, but so pretty recently. But were you like the 70s? All right, I'm gonna.
I think the 50s.
Okay,
that's my guess.
tell you what, how's this sound? I wish one of us knew the answer to this, but we're both going to know in a minute because we're going to take a break, play a little music. I'm going to look this up, maybe have Shane look it up. Shane, do something with that iPad for once. All right, we'll be right back with some more cereal.
As always, the break song, Meeting at the Docks by the one and only Rectech. This is cereal. Today's program is brought to you by the Wisconsin Milk Marketing Board. Hey, Jack Insley here, executive producer of Heritage Radio Network. I hope today's show has got you craving some cereal, and as we all know, and as we've probably mentioned on today's show, good cereal is nothing without milk. Real milk. Cow's milk is not only giving you high-quality, complete protein, but calcium, other nutrients, all the stuff you need to build a healthy body. Turns out most American adults are not consuming enough vitamin D every day, so adding just one serving of milk helps address that nutrient gap. Other ways to get your daily intake of milk? Yogurt has milk. Ice cream has milk. Butter has milk. Cheese has milk. It's not rocket science. Drink your milk. Real milk. Cow's milk. Or maybe chocolate milk. This is a show about cereal. Cereal goes great with milk. Milk is good for you. I think you get the point. And for more fun facts and information, visit eatwisconsincheese.com.
And now it's time for your weekly cereal news brief. Welcome back once again to the Cereal News Brief, your indispensable update on the shocking amount of cereal news that happens every 7 days in this crazy world of ours. All right, so I'm going to break Walter Cronkite character on this one. So basically, there's a show. It's called Battle Creek. It's created by Vince Gilligan, the Breaking Bad dude. It stars Josh Duhamel. Who is fantastic on Las Vegas and at being married to Fergie. I don't know if that's still happening or not. O'Reilly from Oz and all those Geico whatever commercials that he's in where he's called Danger and he's kind of blowing everything up and so you have to get insurance. And Kumar from Harold and Kumar is also, they're all on this show and they're all cops. And during a recent episode, the mayor of Battle Creek, who's played by Patton Oswalt, even though he would probably never get elected mayor, he gets shot. And then after all sorts of drug-powered sex romps, it turns out that Patton Oswalt's brother is the one who shot him, if you can believe that. But maybe he didn't mean to because it seemed like the gun was automatic or rigged up and just firing or something. And apparently nobody is watching this amazing show, despite this amazing cast and how amazing everything is on it, and it's going to get canceled. But I guess the main point that we should get to eventually is the shooting happened during Battle Creek's annual cereal festival because the show takes place in Battle Creek, Michigan, a.k.a. Cereal City, a.k.a. where Mark Izzo from Post last week on Cereal told me I could move if I wanted to and just live there. And also a kid in a mascot costume got shot, too. And I just read this all somewhere. I haven't even seen the show. Slow news week.
Well, is that news? It's kind of fictional.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I think
we're reporting on a fictional murder.
Right, that's fine.
Okay.
I mean, this is no more fictional than, like, Kylie Jenner's life, which we often
totally fair
report on Serial. So that's it. We're hoping to come back with some hot news next week. Pick it up out there, world. All right, so Shane dropped the iPad, and we're going to have to replace it. And I looked it up on my phone, the information that we were going for here, and according to most sources, I love it after things get past a certain date that nobody actually has any idea who...
It's like lore.
...created anything. It's so much more romantic that way. According to my exclusive primary source, Wikipedia, I read it because it's always correct, Rice Krispie Treats are widely thought to have been invented in 1939 by Melita Jensen and Mildred Day at the Kellogg Company Home Economics Department. It's like a middle school class, but they pay them to do it. As a fundraiser for Campfire Girls, they started making these things. I think they put them on the back of the box, and not until 1995 were they commercially available inside the wrapper, the, you know, the blue and kind of shiny silver wrapper that we're all familiar with. What do you think about the commercial product versus what you can create?
I do enjoy that product. I remember in 1995 when it was released, it was a very exciting moment for me as a child because, you know, I didn't have to ask my parents to make me Rice Krispie Treats, which I loved. I was able to just have them in my lunchbox. But there's something about that mass-produced flavor that doesn't quite do it for me. I'm more of a homemade kind of gal when it comes to my Rice Krispies.
What do you think it is? I think that there's... I mean, there's probably not enough of the things that...
Preservatives.
...make it a little... Oh, it's preservatives.
Totally.
That's also probably right? How long would a Rice Krispie Treat last? How long can somebody eat one of your creations after
I say that if you that you can keep it in the freezer up to 2 weeks.
That's it?
I mean, that's what I don't know. I don't want to poison anybody. I've eaten them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, it's butter, marshmallow, and Rice Krispies.
Nothing's happening with that marshmallow. We all know that.
Yeah, definitely not. Yeah. If you're taking care of it, then I think you can eat it.
All right.
Forever.
So, obvious choice for the cereal of the week this week would have been Rice Krispies.
Naturally.
So, I went to the grocery store and found the Rice Krispies. And they look the same as always, and everybody's eating Rice Krispies. Next to these Rice Krispies was something far more sinister, and I felt like I was going to kind of spring this on you as our cereal of the week, which is...
Rice Krispies gluten-free.
Do we have, like, a sadder noise that we could play, Jack? There it is. Rice Krispies gluten-free. This is horrifying, especially because it's made of rice. They're always made of rice.
Right. So, I mean, gluten-free, very trendy right now. I get a lot of questions from customers asking whether my Mr. Crisp designs are gluten-free. And what I've learned through research is that Rice Krispies themselves, you know, the original blue box, the gluten-free box is yellow. The blue box, they have a negligible amount of gluten, is what I've been told.
Roasted barley flavoring is what
the
I
culprit
understand.
Here. Mm-hmm. And then
culprit.
The
champion.
The gluten depends how you look at it. Depends how you feel about gluten. The gluten
feel great.
Free.
If there was a cereal called Gluten,
I
would own that company.
It would probably not be a good marketing ploy right now in today's culinary environment. To call anything gluten.
It'll swing back. Everything
goes. Totally, always. But the gluten-free Rice Krispies are more expensive. So I think it's kind of a ripoff. But some people take their gluten very, very seriously. And...
Well, look, we're going to try these things, and we're going to see just how much of an abomination or lie they are, frankly.
I've tried them. They're the same. But you know what?
They taste exactly like Rice Krispies, in fact. I'm going to give them a fair shake. I'm going to put some milk on it.
Let's do it.
Thanks, Shane. You want in here?
Oh, totally.
I feel like we're
Do you hear
a little short on milk, unsurprisingly.
You hear the snap, crackle, popping?
Same product. It has to be.
Yeah. You know it's authentic.
There's barely any milk this week, unsurprisingly.
Yep.
This is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's the exact same product.
Do you remember how much you paid for that box?
price tag does. $5.69.
Yeah, that is pricey.
This is not the big box either.
Mm-mm.
We are in New York City. Whole grain brown rice. Are the regular Rice Krispies made with brown rice as well?
No.
No.
I don't think so.
All right.
I should know.
I do get brown rice at Chipotle because it makes me feel a little better about myself.
Even yeah, the sushi place is all off right now. Difference.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, well. Gluten-free Rice Krispies are bullshit. And
don't pay that extra.
Don't do it. Just stick to the real stuff. Nobody buy these things. Regular Rice Krispies are great, and nobody should be promoting this kind of horrifying lifestyle. Okay. For some reason, I can't stop eating them.
They're kind of addictive. They're good. All Rice Krispies.
So, I just kind of want to scroll through some of your work on the Instagram. Some of these things stood out a little bit to me, and I'm sure there's a story behind every one of them. So, we could... Does
Let's
that sound
do
good? We could do that.
That sounds great.
Just make them really, really interesting.
If there's nothing interesting, I'll make it up.
Okay. Squirrel smoking what appears to be a blunt was the first one.
That is
kind of jumped out to me.
What it looks like. Yes. Yeah. A good friend of mine texted me one afternoon, and she said, I would like to make something for my best friend's birthday. We both love squirrels and weed.
So it was a blunt.
Yeah,
oh, good.
It was a blunt.
Okay.
And I actually sat on that one for a while before I posted it because I really couldn't think of anything to say. What did I say? What's the caption on that one?
Let's see. How recently was he?
Not that long ago.
I just...
Maybe 6 weeks. Maybe said something about like it being Wednesday. Maybe it was a Wednesday or a Friday. I give myself a little extra poetic license with my captions on Wednesdays and Fridays.
All right. As I'm scrolling, we got Kim Kardashian
that
showing
one,
her...
Yeah.
Herself to the world.
Mm-hmm. So that one...
You turned that one around pretty quick.
Yeah, so that one, I was seeing her paper magazine cover everywhere. And it came out whatever day. And I woke up the next morning and I was like, I should make a crispy of that. And it was great. I mean, a lot of websites picked that one up. I was glad that I did that.
That's pretty good. So you're capturing the zeitgeist whenever possible.
Trying.
A lot of smiling poop emojis.
People love that emoji.
Yeah, but it's kind of weird when you eat it.
It is.
Right?
Yeah, I get a lot of interesting comments on the poop emojis about the idea of eating it.
Okay, squirrel. I actually thought that this was like a smoking gun at first, the squirrel.
No,
because there's kind of some smoke coming off of it, but then it says, don't really have much to say about this smoking squirrel.
Well, there you go.
Besides that it's Wednesday and high.
I see, I told you it was going to be Wednesday.
But high spelled H-I.
Right. Well, I have children following me.
And, right. I get it. And you only want them smoking weed on Wednesdays.
Only on Wednesdays.
Smart.
Yeah.
It's a good way.
And with squirrels.
Right. Once you hit like 16, you can like maybe do a Thursday. Work it towards the weekend, but like no Mondays.
No.
Come on, kids. Ziggy Stardust, David Bowie.
Mm-hmm.
Very well executed. This one seems, we're getting back to Michelangelo's David here. This is...
Oh, my goodness.
This is, I suppose it's not technically a relief, but, you know, this is...
It was definitely sculpture.
Yeah.
And that was for...
He's got a nose on him.
Actually, the person I mentioned before, whose suggestion it was to make the original Rice Krispie Treat surfboard, my mm-hmm. friend Amanda, this was for her birthday. She is a huge fan of David Bowie. So I decided to try something out. So usually, if I have a customer paying me, I try not to take too many risks on their order. But when I'm making something for a friend for their birthday, that's where the real magic starts to happen because that's where I feel like if I fail, well, then they're still my friend. They have to like me anyway, and they'll eat it. It'll still taste good.
Mm-hmm.
So this one, I really try not to do specific people because it's really hard to get the details in the Rice Krispies. But I tried it out here, and I think it worked out pretty well. I have to say that the strangest part of that process was putting the head in my freezer. It just felt really disturbing.
That's pretty Patrick Bateman.
Totally.
What else? We have a clutch with the name Carla on it, which mm-hmm. I loved.
That was for
I'm just kidding. I don't care about
that
one. A
woman named Carla.
Yeah. I don't care about Carla. Stacy's pita chips
yep.
and Sabra hummus,
mm-hmm.
Which might make me like a little basic bitch, but I like. That's fantastic.
That one was definitely being delivered Sabra to like straight, Murray Hill.
Sabra is probably the best mass-produced, like a product that otherwise, like when you get it fresh, it's fantastic, and when it's mass-produced, it's like still kind of almost good. There. Yeah,
I'm a fan of both Sabra and Stacy's Pita Chips.
We've got cereal, but the wrong podcast mm-hmm. cereal.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah, which I think is just a spelling error on iTunes for this particular podcast. And some sneakers. A lot of Air Maxes, I noticed. I'm a big sneaker guy. The Air Maxes were very true. I thought that the 98s, the ones that are kind of have those the different colored steps on them, there's a lot of different colors. I mean, that's a complicated shoe just to make even as a shoe, let alone a Rice Krispie treat. So yeah, those were some of my favorites. And now, look, I don't want to be presumptuous or anything, but you walked in here with a giant box that either there's like a dress in there and you're going to a homecoming dance later, or there's something else in there. I don't know.
There might be something in there.
Not presuming anything.
It might be for you.
Do we want to talk about this?
I think we should.
Okay.
I mean, I was not going to show up to a podcast about cereal without a piece of cereal art. That wasn't going to happen.
Okay.
So I made you something.
What do you want to do?
I think we should unveil it.
Okay.
Okay.
You want to grab it?
Yeah, I'm going
to
grab it.
Okay. She's going to grab it. We would never trust Shane to touch this, ever. Oh my God.
It has its own seat.
Oh, it's got a Mr. Crisp little sticker to seal it closed on here. I mean, this is the size box of a rather large cake.
They're called sheet cake boxes.
Sheet cake boxes.
When I order them, yep.
Yeah, it's about
nineteen inches.
This is huge.
By I think 4.
All right, I'm gonna open it.
You do it.
Okay. Here we go. Oh my God. Would you look at this? This is astounding. It is a Cereal the Podcast logo Rice Krispie.
That is cereal exactly what it
is. This is absolutely fabulous. I've never felt so loved in my entire life.
I'm so happy you like
Nobody
it.
Nobody brings me anything on this show.
Well, now everyone else is going to have to step it up.
Everybody's so goddamn greedy. All right, as beautiful as this is,
you're going to have to eat it.
I'm going to take a bite of it right now. And even before I photo... Oh, wait.
I think you just have to, like, pull a corner off or, like...
It's kind of stuck to the...
Yeah, that's what happens. But you can get a bit of... Yeah.
How has your science evolved on, like, making these things kind of, you know, stay together in instances like this?
I can usually tell what we're going to have structural issues with and what we're not. Like, this is one that...
Damn it.
I felt pretty comfortable.
All right. I might have to take a picture of this beauty.
I have pictures, but... Well.
This is remarkable. All right. Now I'm just going to tear part of it off.
Definitely try it.
Is this flavored?
Nope. Original.
Oh, my God. It's
the recipe that Mildred and Marjorie came up with back in 1939.
Those old broads, too. It's all a favorite. This is fantastic.
So I can't take credit for the recipe.
Regular cake frosting on the on the wording.
Mm-hmm.
I love this. I can't. I've really never felt specialer.
Well, anything I can do. It looks kind of good with honestly, that bite taken out of it.
I know. Yeah. This frosting really sets it off.
Yeah, the frosting's good. I don't.
It kind of takes it somewhere else.
Yeah. See, when people say they taste good, I take it as a compliment, but I can't really take a lot of credit because, to be honest with you, the recipe came from the side of the box and the icing comes from a tube. But I mix it all up.
Fuck this modesty. Come on. Well, look, as a thank you for this wonderful gift, I am going to ask you the exact same questionnaire that every single other guest gets asked.
I'm honored
to close this thing out.
Cool.
This has been wonderful, illuminating in all sorts of ways. So yeah, let's tear through these things and finish strong.
Cool.
Okay. So I don't know your favorite cereal. What is your favorite cereal to eat?
That's a tough question because I love all cereals, but I think my desert island cereal would be Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
Yeah. Absolute that is a classic. Great cereal.
What about your least favorite cereal?
Again, I am a friend to all of the cereals. If I had to pick a cereal that I could never have again, I'd probably say Shredded Wheat.
Okay. Very, very reasonable answer. Would have been absolutely incredible if you had said Rice Krispies.
No, I would never. Don't bite the hand that feeds you.
What kind of milk do you use on your Cinnamon Toast Crunch and other cereals?
I usually use almond milk.
Really?
Okay. I do. It lasts longer than regular milk.
Just like in the fridge?
In the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
And that fits my lifestyle better. You know, not having to worry about expired dairy.
Okay. I've actually never had any.
It's good.
I've had soy milk.
Yeah.
I imagine almond milk's probably better.
It's good.
I want cashew milk. If you could get bottle service in a fancy nightclub with any cereal mascot, which mascot would you be just partying with?
I'm going to have to say...
Grinding on everybody.
Grinding on everybody. I'm going to have to say that, you know what? Snap, Crackle, and Pop.
Oh, okay.
You know, so, I mean, obviously that's not one.
No.
But they come as a set.
That's a team.
You know, I'm a single girl. It's a better ratio for me. They're my friends. We work together. I'm into it.
Okay. You've got a lot of familiarity.
Totally.
What about an Eagles concert? Who would you sentence to going to an Eagles concert with you, mascot-wise?
You know, I saw the Eagles perform not so long ago at ACL. It was actually probably like 3 years ago, 4 years ago now. And it was all baby boomers. So maybe like... Fred Flintstone.
Yep. He's as old as they get.
He's the oldest cereal mascot.
And what about a dual birthday party at the roller rink with a cereal mascot and you?
This is a tough one.
It is tough.
First of all, there are no female cereal mascots. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Wow.
I
feel horrible for
alarming.
Never even have considered that.
Right? See, don't you?
Yeah.
You're part of the problem.
Uh-huh.
I can't come up with any.
Because you only like to hang out with girls at roller rinks?
No, but, you know, if I was sharing my birthday party, it would most likely be with a female friend.
Or somebody with the same birthday as you.
Or someone with the same birthday as me. So which cereal mascot was born on December 29th is the question you're asking. I think I would probably say Tony the Tiger. He seems like a good time at a roller rink.
Yeah, absolutely. Also, nobody is coming to your birthday party on December 29th, unfortunately.
No, it's true. It will be held mid-January.
They're at home or on vacation. Who do you think deserves to be on a Wheaties box but hasn't been on a Wheaties box? It'll be immortalized forever.
Well, traditionally, there are athletes
mm-hmm.
on the Wheaties boxes. And any athlete that I can name has probably already been on a Wheaties box.
You love sports, sounds
like. I love go sports.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Kanye West.
I'm sure Kanye would agree with you. And last question, every week before this just the horrid abomination of a bowl of gluten-free Rice Krispies... When was the last bowl of cereal that you ate, and what was it?
About a week and a half ago, I had a bowl of Rice Krispies. I was coming home from LA, and I got home from the airport, and I didn't have any food in my apartment, and I was hungry, except I have an endless store of Rice Krispies. So I took some almond milk out of my refrigerator, and I had a few bowls. I actually I keep eating cereal until the milk's gone. That's my cereal eating technique, so I probably had like six bowls before I really had gotten through all that milk.
Heavy up on the milk.
Yeah.
You can't throw out that milk.
No.
That's smart. Well, look, Jessica, this was wonderful.
Likewise.
Thanks so much for coming out. Thank you for...
My pleasure.
By far the finest piece of Rice Krispie Treat artwork that you've ever made.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can tell that you feel that way.
This is my David.
And this was great. I'm sure that, yeah, you're going to have to hire 6 people after this show because the orders are going to start pouring in. So congratulations on that in advance.
Thank you.
And yeah, couldn't have been happier to have you on.
Couldn't be happier to be here.
All right. Well, look, everybody, download this podcast as often as you possibly can on iTunes. Check it out on Heritage. Donate to the Heritage Radio Kickstarter for the new website. We need it, so everything looks sexier on there, especially cereal. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.